Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Even in times of downturn, the principle of return on investment, or ROI, remains crucial. It's no less crucial when investing in the kingdom of God. Today, lessons on investing the money we have, money that actually belongs to someone else. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on investing for eternity. In this third message, Erwin Lutzer becomes our financial counselor. Listen as he tells us to invest with your ROI in mind.
Many years ago, I read a book entitled The Day the Dollar Died. Actually, the book was misnamed. It should have been The Day the Mark Died. It was the story of what happened in Germany after World War II when the mark was devalued. I remember in chapter one there was an interesting story about a dear Christian woman who saved all of her German marks. Because she didn't trust the bank, she put them into a bag and she kept them at home. And then one day she took a walk to a Bible school to give it to the school that was training students for ministry that was trying to start up after a terrible war. And the president of the school, his heart broke as he had to tell her that her marks were worthless. The German government had actually canceled the mark just the day before, and so this bundle of money, the best thing that could be done with it, is to be burned. Well, we don't live in a day and age when the dollar actually has been devalued, but we do live in a day and age when obviously we do not have enough dollars, do we? All over the country today, ministries are suffering. You find that families are having their difficult time, and the reason is very obvious. Some of you are those who have lost your jobs. Some of you are underemployed. Some of you who have your jobs may fear for the future. And so we're all in the same boat. What does the Bible have to say about money? Today we're going to look at a very fascinating parable that Jesus told. It's a parable that some people have had a problem with because it appears, if you read it wrongly, it appears as if Jesus was justifying dishonesty. But if you read it more carefully, obviously Jesus would never justify dishonesty. What Jesus is doing is pointing out the need for wise use of money and shrewdness. It's found in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 16, you will be able to find it in your Bible or the Bible that is there provided for you. Jesus tells the story of a wealthy man who had a manager who mismanaged the money. It doesn't say exactly what the manager did, but we can probably fill in the blanks. He perhaps had a scheme of some sort, and maybe he embezzled some of the funds. At any rate, the rich man needed to fire this guy and get rid of him. But in those days, it was a little different than it is today. You were able to stay on, I'm sure, an extra day, even though the word had been given that you're through. Heard this week on television, a man was being interviewed, and he said that he was on a streetcar in New York, on the subway in New York, and suddenly all of these people appeared around noon, dressed in suits, all very attractively decked out. And he didn't know what had happened. And then he learned that a major firm in New York had just fired several thousand people. And they all went home at the same time. I'm sure they all turned in their keys. And maybe the reason that they did is somebody was smart enough to read this parable that Jesus told. Because this man, he didn't have to turn in his keys immediately. So knowing that he had to be going and on his way, he decided to use some of his master's money by taking some of the creditors that the master had and actually reducing their debt. Well, you're in Luke chapter 16, as I am. You'll notice it says, he called his disciples. There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management. You can no longer be a manager. All right, and the manager said to himself, what shall I do since my master is taking the management away from me? My resume isn't impressive. I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, how much do you owe my master? He said, 100 measures of oil. And the manager said to him, take your bill and let's say that it's 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said, well, take your bill and write 80. Obviously, these two men, and there may have been others, they are going to be very careful in blessing this man once he's without a job. I mean, I've done something good for you. I expect you to receive me into your house, and you do something good for me. Now notice, what does the manager do? Well, the manager, we know, was dishonest, but you'll notice it says in verse 8, the master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. Now, you see, if he had stolen it, the man would have been arrested and thrown into jail, but he didn't do that with the master's money, at least not in this instance. What he did is he took it and he gave it away. And so the master, the rich man, has to think this through and say, there was something shrewd about using money this way. Jesus himself agrees. You'll notice he says, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. Jesus is speaking there in verse 8. And then verse 9, I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. Just that far for now. Jesus obviously is not commending this man for his dishonesty. But Jesus is saying, this is really shrewd. This man knew how to use money to make friends that were going to help him. And then Jesus said, use your money this way that you will have friends when you get to heaven, and they will welcome you into everlasting habitations. Wow, what a story. And it even gets better as it progresses. What I'd like to do today is to give you 5 principles, biblical principles of money management. And these 5 principles apply to you whether you have a job, whether you've lost a job, whether you've got lots of money, whether you've got no money. These are universal principles that come from this parable that help us to get some insight as to what we should do also during this time when we have a financial downturn. We'll comment on that as well. As always, the Bible is relevant no matter what era in which it is preached. Are you ready for the 5 principles? Number 1, it is very clear that money that we have is loaned. It is not owned. We don't own it. God lends it to us and says, be good stewards. We are here the manager of the rich man's money. Visualize for a moment as if the entire world was God's inhabitation, or God inhabits the world. Of course he does. He inhabits the whole universe. But this world is like a house in which we have varying responsibilities, and we are the managers of that which God has given to us, and we own nothing. We own nothing. The money that this manager gave away belonged to the rich man. The money that he kept, the money that he was honest with, the money that he was dishonest with, it all belonged to the rich man, his master. Everything that you and I have belongs to God. You'll notice in verse 12, as Jesus continues the story, and I should pick it up in verse 10, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you with the true riches? And if you've not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? What Jesus is saying is that when you are invited to be entrusted with money, it is not yours, it is another's. And isn't that true? The minute we get our pay stub, we know that a lot of it is another's. Because we see on there, you know, federal income tax, state income tax, we see Social Security. Right from the get-go, a lot of it is another's. And then once it's put into the bank, it suddenly becomes another's, very obviously. It becomes the electric companies and the gas companies and the mortgage companies and the clothing stores and the grocery stores. Suddenly it belongs to another. But there's a much greater principle here, and that is that we must acknowledge the fact that even that which may or may not be left over after we've paid our bills, that also belongs to God, and our bank accounts belong to God, and our savings accounts, and the money that we have in the market and the money that we have out of the market, all of that is God's. This is the most fundamental principle of finance in all the scriptures. Yes, my friend, we have to relearn all of the lessons of Scripture, don't we, when it comes to finance? The reason that I'm preaching this series of messages is because during this time of financial uncertainty, it's so important that we understand clearly what the Bible has to say about money. Not just giving, but the whole topic of money, how it should be viewed, how we should think about it, its deceptions, and yet also its tremendous value when it comes to using it wisely. And I hope that during these messages you understand that all the money that we have belongs to God, and simply ask Him that question, what will you have me to do with that which belongs to you? We want to thank the many of you who support us financially. As I've said many times on this broadcast, I hope that you also take out time to send a gift to this radio network. We come into your homes and into your cars and offices through the auspices of this network that has been so generous with us, and we are grateful to God for our partnership. I think that all of us should spend some time in prayer asking God to give us the wisdom as to how to use our money wisely, at a time when the whole topic of the economy is so very important and so very uncertain. But I can't end today with emphasizing once again that really, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, more important than anything that we've talked about today in terms of money is that you might come to believe on Him and receive the gift of eternal life that is to be purchased with no money, but through faith in Jesus. God bless you. See you next time.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, introducing Invest with Your ROI in Mind, another message on investing for eternity. Next time on Running to Win, more on why it's really true that you can't take it with you. All four messages on investing for eternity can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.